Chapter 4. A Wonderful Discovery.
Dr. Kemp left the room and heard the invisible man lock the door.
I must be mad. None of this can be true,
he thought to himself.
No, it is all true.
He quietly walked downstairs to his office and looked for the day's newspapers. He started to look for some articles. The first he read was titled, Strange Story from Iping. Another was named, Entire Village in Sussex Goes Mad. He read stories of people being attacked, a doctor and a reverend being stripped of their clothes, and buildings being destroyed. Dr. Kemp thought to himself,
This man is mad and dangerous. He is capable of murder.
Dr. Kemp was very worried. He didn't sleep all night, thinking about what he should do. In the morning, his housekeeper came, and he asked her to serve breakfast for two in his study. In his office, he read the morning newspaper, which described the events of the previous night. Dr. Kemp, feeling even more concerned, sat down to write a note. He addressed it to Colonel Adye, Port Burdock Police. Just as he was giving it to his housekeeper, he heard the sound of smashing furniture.
Hurry,
he whispered to his housekeeper. Dr. Kemp rushed upstairs and knocked on the door.
What's the matter?
He asked the headless robe.
I lost my temper,
the invisible man explained.
You seem to do that a lot. The papers are full of you, but no one knows that you are here.
The invisible man seemed very agitated, so Dr. Kemp suggested,
Why don't we have breakfast in my study?
This suggestion put Griffin in a better mood, and they went to the study. Dr. Kemp nervously looked out the window and sat down across from his invisible companion.
I'm curious to know how all of this happened to you, Griffin,
said Dr. Kemp.
It was wonderful at first, but now with all of the problems I've had, I'm not sure. Not unless great things can be done. Let me tell you my story,
said Griffin.
As you know, we studied medicine together many years ago. But did you know that later I changed to physics? I studied a lot about light and liquids and how glass becomes almost invisible in water when light goes through it.
Yes, but humans aren't transparent like glass,
interrupted Kemp.
No, we are, except for the red coloring of our blood and other matter. Flesh, bone, nails, hair. Everything is transparent. I did so much research for 6 years and wrote everything down in my 3 books. That's why I have to get them back from Marvel.
But how did you get the blood and other pigment to become invisible?
Kemp asked.
It took me 3 more years to do that. But I never had any money, so I stole it from my father. But then he shot himself because he actually owed the money I stole to someone else. Well, with the money, I bought all of the equipment I needed. I started to be able to make things invisible. First, I made a piece of wood invisible. Then I found a starving cat. I gave her some food with the drugs in it. Over several hours, the animal slowly started to become invisible. She was unconscious for quite a long time. When she finally came to, all I could see was the green pigment at the back of her eyes. The last time I saw her, she was just 2 green eyes jumping out one of my windows. After successfully making the cat invisible, I knew there was the possibility of making a human invisible. I worked hard, and I had to do it quickly. I owed my landlord a lot of money in rent. I knew it would be perfect for me to become invisible and just disappear. I decided to mail my 3 books to myself to an address on the other side of London. After coming back from the post office, I mixed some of the drugs for myself and drank it. While I waited for it to take effect, there was a knock at my door. I was feeling very sick at this time, and when I opened my door, my landlord looked at me, screamed, and ran away. I looked at myself in the mirror, and I was as white as a sheet. I cannot describe the pain I felt over the next 10 or 12 hours. By morning, I slowly became invisible. I was looking at myself in the mirror, not seeing anything, of course, when there was a loud bang at my door. It was the landlord. He shouted for me to open the door. I was extremely desperate. I didn't want them to see my chemicals and equipment, so I burned the place down and escaped through the window. I decided to head for the place I had sent my books. It was fun at first being invisible, but it also had plenty of problems. I couldn't wear any clothes or shoes, and it was extremely cold. My feet also became incredibly sore. Dogs and boys were a problem too. Dogs couldn't see me, but they could certainly smell me. Where there were puddles of water or mud that I walked through, boys would cry out, "Look, there are footprints, but nothing is making them." A crowd of people formed behind me, which I had to try to escape from by finding some completely dry ground. Eventually, I was able to lose my crowd of pursuers.
On hearing the word pursuers, Kemp felt a little uncomfortable. He glanced nervously through the window. The invisible man continued on with his story.
That day, I knew I had to find shelter quickly. It was definitely going to snow, and I knew that if the snow fell on me, people could see me easily. I found a department store and waited until the doorman opened the door for customers. I hurried in. I found a corner to rest in, and when the store closed, I found some food to eat and some clothes to wear. I planned to sleep there, steal some money from the registers, and finish my disguise. The problem was that I slept too well. I didn't wake up before the store opened, and many people saw me. I jumped up and ran, but I was a headless man running around the store, so I hid behind a counter and tore all of my clothing off. I managed to escape just as the police arrived. I was very hungry, but I couldn't eat. Without any clothes on, people would be able to see the food in my stomach.
The invisible man continued.
I never thought of that problem,
commented Kemp.
What about the snow outside?
In the morning, all of the snow had melted, but it was extremely cold outside, and I had to find something to wear as soon as I could. I could already feel myself getting sick. I hurried through the streets and eventually found a small costume shop. It was hidden away in a small side street, so there were no people around. I quietly entered the shop. The owner heard me enter. As he didn't see anything, he returned to his lunch in the back. Or that was what I thought, at least. But the man came back again, and he had a gun in his hand. He shouted out, "Who's there?" "I know someone is there. I heard you come in." Then he fired his gun, but it just missed me. I knew I would have to do something desperate.
"What? You killed him, didn't you?"
asked Kemp.
No. I didn't think so anyway. I picked up a stool and hit him on the back of his head. He fell unconscious, and then I gagged him and tied him up with a sheet. I covered his head so that he wouldn't be able to see me putting on my disguise if he came to. "Kemp, I wish you wouldn't look at me like that. I had to do it. I had no choice. He had a gun." Then I took some glasses, a wig, some whiskers, and all of the money from the man's cash register, and then I left. The next thing I did was to get something to eat. I found a restaurant that had private dining rooms. I explained to the waiter that I didn't want to eat in public because I was disfigured.
At this point, the invisible man stopped talking. He seemed to turn and face Kemp, who was pacing back and forth in front of the window. The doctor didn't want Griffin to get suspicious, so he tried to keep him talking.
"Is that when you went to Iping?"
the doctor asked the invisible man.
"Yes,"
he replied.
"That is where I had all of my books sent, with my clothes and equipment. I wanted to live in a quiet village where no one would bother me. I wanted to work in peace and make a formula to make me visible again. I want to be visible again, but only after I have done everything I want while I am invisible. I need your help for that, Kemp." I won't help you commit crimes like you have been doing up until now,
replied Kemp.
You have attacked several people already.
They will be perfectly all right, except Thomas Marvel. When I catch up with him, he will wish he had never been born. And I'll kill anyone who wants to stop me in my plans.